Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I got friends in low places where the whiskey's and those days.
I thought it was ambitious when you went for the second line. But as always, you are listening to Bandwagons.
You mean to tell me that wasn't Garth Brooks just singing? Garth Brooks, even.
Garth Brooks singer. Garth Brooks, yeah, just one of them.
Can I get one Garth Brooks, please? Welcome back to Bandwagons. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, we're here to tell you about a topic that'll be coming up very soon. Nobody asked for. It was so funny posting this on the close friends and everyone just being like,
no.
Because we'd ask, because obviously me and Bree don't listen to Garth. Some people were either like, actually, that's not fair. Like, two people were like, and we'll read the messages, but they were like, yeah, we like him, blah, blah. It was like a family thing or it's like a country music thing. And then it was either that, it was split into thirds. It was people actually liked him. And then the other section of people were, they don't like Garth. They don't know why people like Garth, but they know people who like Garth. So they would talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And then we had the people who were like, blocked and reported. I can't believe you're doing this as an episode. We had to. This is the epitome of a bandwagon. It's coming back again.
Yeah. Can you believe it? I can't believe he has this country in a chokehold for the second time in a decade. I think we missed. Like, I think Garth Brooks, to our age group, kind of only became a thing when he tried to play Crow Park a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think he was really, like, I was so surprised by how much of a thing he was at that time.
Now, upon researching, it is very evident why he's such a thing and why he was and why it was such a big deal for a specific generation. But, like, paint the picture. We were in
college.
First year of college.
I think we were in...
No, because it was 2014.
Yeah, actually it was, because I did it for my PR assignment, but I think that was final year, but I think it had all passed at that point.
God, that's a genius fucking PR assignment. Every time I try to remember what my PR assignment was, I just want to bash my head in because I just can't remember and it's really annoying.
Check your emails.
Who could be bothered doing that? I actually should do that.
Well, don't bash your head in before you check your emails.
True, yeah. This is me the minute WhatsApp went down, just like, straight to the fireplace.
No, I was going to say, like, the mainframe is down, guys. This is the end. I say that a lot, but this is it.
What was I saying? I remember, like, good little daughter me getting up early, waking up to get them on Ticketmaster for my parents. Not as like a present or anything, but just, you know, the demand. This wasn't for the first night. I think it was like maybe for the second or third date at this point.
Yeah.
Got the tickets and sure then everything else happened. And it was, I think, my sister and her husband-to-be at the time. Wasn't even fiancé at that point, Moss, unlucky. They had tickets. our friend Owen Luke was going to go.
Of course he was.
He's a big blogger, like, so.
And he loves concerts. He just loves concerts.
He loves concerts. Country music, of course. Yeah. Owen Luke is there.
Something he can tap his foot to.
Absolutely. Really sorry. Really sorry.
He doesn't listen.
Well, someone's going to send him this and he's probably going to be mad. But nice other than that, I'm going to be honest. Now, with that said, if someone had turned around and given me a free ticket at that point, and if it had gone ahead, obviously we're talking ifs, buts, kind of nuts here, I probably would have gotten, because like he just seems like one of those artists that even if you only know a few songs, and I think with the connection that he had to like the Ireland in general, I think it would have been a laugh. Now, obviously it didn't happen. We don't have to talk about 2014. We know what happened and we're going to talk about 2014. We're going to talk about with an actual journalist.
Yeah, what do we have if we don't have that?
And they're going to update us on what's happening now, because obviously the reason why we're talking about this again, this would have been resigned to a Patreon episode and we would have inflicted this on the poor people who paid money. But then Garth Brooks turned around. The pandemic is nearing an end, fingers crossed. And Garth Brooks is like Kim Kardashian coming out of the hedge being like, it's Cork Park free. It's Cork Park free again for 5 nights. And apparently it's going to happen.
5 nights in Croke Park?
No. This is where our guest is going to come in and help us decide fact from fiction, because I'm hearing and reading completely opposing things. So obviously what I know is that Aiken, they're promoting the concert or whatever.
I thought Aiken were gone.
No, they're still a thing.
Okay.
They're still a thing. They just... Anyway, moving swiftly along. They are organising a concert, and whoever else is involved, it's like concert organisers, and obviously there's a couple of different residential groups, I suppose, for like people living in the surrounding areas.
I haven't seen a bob of it in Drumcondra Social.
Oh, talk to me about what's going on in Drumcondra Social.
I haven't seen a bob of it in Drumcondra Social. I'd be surprised now.
What is Drumcondra Social? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's just like a Facebook group for people who live in or around Drumcondra. And like, we just all joined it.
You are very far away from Drumcondra.
I'm not very far away. It's like a little bit of a walk.
I think you're too far away to be in Drumcondra Social, to be honest.
It's funny. It's people selling stuff and like helping each other out. Like the community spirit in that Facebook group is honestly like nothing else I've ever seen.
What am I talking about? I'm still fully in a Glass and Evan WhatsApp group. I just can't leave, because that is full to the brim of drama. I'm not disclosing anything because GDPR, but... Oh, juicy. Don't ever leave the WhatsApps. Just archive them. Trust me, they're good for a laugh of a hungover weekend. Anyway, you haven't heard anything about Drumcondra Social. Interesting. Okay.
No. I'm surprised now, but I might go back and have a look.
Okay. I'm reading it. Okay. So the state of play is Ed Sheeran has 2 nights, right?
Yeah. So the limit is 5 a year or something, isn't it?
The limit is 5, but not, as far as I'm aware, one artist can't
do them all in a row.
And they can't do them all in a row. And apparently that was the issue the last time as well, was that apparently, again, hopefully we'll get into this a bit more later on. Apparently Garth was offered, so it was like the 3 nights, whatever. Then he wanted to do 5. Garth was offered to do like a matinee and an evening show to like make up so that he got like 5 concerts, but they didn't take place over 5 days.
Yeah.
And he said no, apparently, allegedly. So that's when people are like, it was all about the money for you. You actually don't really give a fuck about Irish fans. Like it was money and it was ego. Like he wanted to be the first person to do 5. He wanted to make the most amount of money out of it. Which like I do get, and maybe I care less because I'm not a hardcore fan, but I can imagine. All I think about is the branded like 2014 Stetsons. I think of them.
Oh yeah.
I think of them decomposing, or not decomposing, because they're full of microplastics probably, somewhere in a warehouse, and how some lad is just waiting to burst open the door and he's going to Diamante on 2021 somehow.
Yeah.
Or 2022. Sorry,
the old one off
this year, obviously. Yeah, literally.
I was talking to Mark about it recently, and he has a theory that like Garth Brooks is a psychopath.
Okay.
Complete and total psychopath. So there's a couple of things. He seems to just enjoy the drama and the fame too much. Like a bit of a like, do you know when people just like sit back smirk? Like I feel like during the whole Croke Park controversy, he was sitting back smirking. a little bit. I got that vibe. Secondly, apparently Mark said he just says a lot of things that he thinks people want to hear. And in an interview about his wife, he was like, what do you like about your wife? And he was like, oh, she's just so beautiful and she smells so good. And the interview was
I actually have another interview where he, I don't know if this is the same interview, but I picked that up in an interview that I read with him.
He just bullshit that
talking
he thinks
about her scent.
Yes, he was like, she smells good. And the interview was like, oh, she smells like, what does she smell like? And he's, I think he said something like, she smells like I can do anything, which makes no sense. And then thirdly, which I think we should get into later because we have guests now, but is the whole Chris Gaines scenario.
Oh, God, yeah, we have to talk about that. Sorry, I'd come at you for talking about that.
Like, so if that's a sociopath or a psychopath, I don't know what is.
Let's go right back to the beginning, though, before we bring in our guests. So he's obviously a country music artist, potentially one of the most... Actually, there's no potentially about it. He is the... He is one of, if not the most successful country music artist in the world. In 2015, he actually surpassed Elvis Presley as the solo artist to sell the most albums in the United States. But he's like still a good bit below the Beatles, apparently. So I'm not great. Yeah. He is originally from Oklahoma, as far as I'm aware. He was the youngest of six kids. His mom did not want him to get into music, begged him. He went for the Marines because his dad was a Marine. And his dad, when he told his dad was like, Garth, you don't want to do that. So then he started playing local bars while he was in college doing other things. Then he moved from Oklahoma to Nashville, obviously the home of country music. And he kind of got a bit of a land when he got there. He thought it was going to be very like stereotypical country. He says himself, like, he's like, I go to Nashville thinking everything's going to be straw hats and gooseneck trailers, right? And everything suit and ties. It's a business. I'm not ready for that. He got married to his college sweetheart, Sandy Mall. They started a band together. When he took another trip to Nashville and he landed a record deal in less than a year after a second trip. His first record went gold. His career took off. But he said from the off, he kind of didn't handle fame well. He said it was like the nation was watching you grow up. He was making decisions. And he says he looks back on a lot of them and says, man, I wish I could take that one back. And that's pretty much what inspired one of his biggest hits, 1989's The Dance.
Yes, that's my favorite, I think.
That was written by Tony Arata. It's the 10th and final track from his self-titled debut album. Garth's, not Tony. Sorry, Tony. He told Patrick Keelty in a 2015 interview that...
Where is he now?
Married to Cat Deely, having the time of his life.
Oh.
He credits that song with much of his success. It's a song with double meaning. It's a love song about the end of a passionate relationship because obviously that marriage that I mentioned previously was failing at this time and they were breaking up. And it's also a story of someone dying because of something he believes in after a moment of glory. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot Country Songs and remained there for three consecutive weeks until it was knocked off by Good Times by Dan Seals. It was named Song of the Year and Video of the Year by the Academy of Country Music in 1990. It was awarded the number 14 position in the CMT 100 Greatest Songs of Country Music, broadcast in 2003. In a 1994 Playboy interview, Brooks said, unless I'm totally surprised, The Dance will be the greatest success as a song we will ever do. I'll go to my grave with The Dance. It will probably be my favourite song. He performed The Dance on the final episode of The Tonight Show, Jay Leno, on NBC. And he was actually, Garth himself was just put into the Kennedy Center for his contribution to American culture. And at the ceremony, our fave, Kelly Clarkson, did a cover of it.
Yes.
And Garth was bawling.
I said that was
I can't find any videos of it, but it's very annoying. So by 1999, right? So when had he released? So he had released this album, like, whatever. Yeah, we'll say this year or the year before. He had sold... drum roll, sorry, I just lost my place. He sold over 100 million albums.
Jesus.
Like, the numbers back in the day when you had to buy physical things were just fucking crazy. His marriage wasn't great, obviously, as I mentioned. So he kind of stepped away from music for a while. He said once children come into the mix, children take the lead. So even though Sandy and I were not going to be able to complete our marriage, I thought that was a funny quote, we still had our children to raise. The country music audience is giving you everything. Now you just simply ask them, I'm going to go home and raise my babies. And then obviously he came back. He's probably one of, like, if you're ever to talk about comebacks, I think a lot of other names get thrown around. And I think maybe he's forgotten because he's not necessarily as mainstream. But like, he came back after 14 years to the biggest... like just massively embraced. And if you even think about that return, that excitement for that initial Croke Park thing that never happened, like, it's just crazy. He went on to marry Trisha Yearwood. They're still together. This kind of seems like the start of his second, maybe third wind. He only accepted this Kennedy Center thing this year, and at the when he was accepting it, he made a bold promise that this is going to start making what we've done hopefully look small. You wake up in the morning, you're breathing, then God's got a plan for you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be a warrior? Are you going to be a retired guy? So that's your question every morning.
It's a, they're the only options, retired or warrior.
They're the only options.
Oh, I know. They're the only options.
Before we get into more him as an artist and everything else, I think we need to bring in
the expert.
My friend... Virgin Media News journalist Paul Quinn. We worked together once upon a time, and he is covering the beat now. And I want to know the sus. I want to know if these five nights are going to happen. And I want to know what the locals are saying. So I'm going to bring him in. And yeah, hope you enjoy. We are delighted to be joined by Virgin Media News reporter Paul Quinn, my old pal, to talk about what the hell is going on with these next concerts, if they are going to happen. Paul, you're very welcome to Bandwagons.
Thanks. It's an honour to be asked. Thanks for having me. Oh,
an honour to have you. Yeah. Okay, what's this us? Like, what's, you've been out in the streets, you've been talking to people.
Yeah.
Are they going to happen? What's the general consensus with the community around Croke Park now?
I think they will happen. Like, we broke this story maybe 3-4 weeks ago now, and we had a couple of sources and we had to do a little bit of work, but we were happy, you know, to run the story. We were happy that, you know, it was going to happen. And this, well, the plans were at an advanced stage that he was going to play five nights over two weekends in September. So as things stand, you know, people will probably be aware after the whole debacle last time that there is... Croke Park are allowed to hold three concerts every year. That's what they have planning permission for. So they're allowed to have the three concerts. So they went to Dublin City Council. They said, look, we want to have three concerts the 9th, 10th, 11th of September. They're like, yeah, no problem. That's when your three dates are. They can always apply for licenses to have more dates. And I think that's where people are a bit confused, because even now people will say, you know, when we reported, you know, that he wants to play five, they're like, but only three is allowed. But three is allowed under planning. But you can apply for licenses for as many more as you want. So they got the two gigs in April. They applied for a license for those. They got the green light, and that's Ed Sheeran on the 23rd, 24th. And they've now applied for a license for another two in September, the weekend after the three. So that'll tally up with what we were reporting a number of weeks ago, that the five. The decision on that won't be made probably till the end of October. Early November. So it's currently with the council, and people, I think, have until the 12th of this month to make submissions one way or the other. And it's kind of funny. It's really divided opinion. When we broke the story on Virgin Media News, I don't, like, we knew it'd be a big story, but like literally within 20 minutes, it was up on every, you know, newspaper, had it up online, radio stations. It was in the bulletins. It just, and it, I think it took an awful lot of people back to 2014. Whether you love him or hate him, whether you hate him, secretly love him, whether you love him, you wouldn't go to his concert. I mean, yeah, it's been a little bit mad. As things stand, they have the planning for three. They're looking for another two. But like, they're definitely keen to get him back. And they're definitely keen to get him back for those five nights. And I think that's because the five shows in 2014 just ended up not happening, that they really want to get, you know, really want to get them back. So yeah, look, as things stand, depending if they get the go ahead for the next two, then he'll definitely be coming. Then the question mark is, will he come for three if he's not getting the five, will he come for the three in September? And then, you know, who knows? That's kind of still up in the air. But yeah, it's looking good as things stand.
What was the general consensus from residents? Because I, again, like I was reading things and I was hearing other things from other people, and then you don't know what's what. I had heard that like the biggest difference for people this year, or kind of residents kind of being more up for the five and having less issues, was that obviously we've just come out of lockdown. Yeah. It would be great for the area, like money, that they kind of wouldn't mind it as a once off, and maybe then next year it would be reviewed again, blah, blah, blah. What were you hearing from people? Like, what's the general consensus?
Look, it was definitely mixed. The meeting that was held last Thursday was invite only, so no media were allowed inside. So we were just talking to residents as they were going in and talking to them as they were coming out. And it's definitely mixed. You have a residents association who are, you know, in the area, and they're very much opposed to any more than three concerts. The spokesperson said when he came out, he's like, look, this would be like a nightclub with 80,000 people in it, plonking it in the middle of a residential area. You know, and I'm sure it's easy for a lot of us who maybe don't live around Croke Park. Like, I don't live too far from it, but it doesn't really directly impact me. It's not outside my street. So you'll have people that are definitely against it. And I think their main issues are around like security and enough toilets, and, you know, that there's, that they can get in and out of their homes. Like, you know, for even big matches, and some of the residents talking to us saying like, when they come out their door, you could have some fella or some girl literally peeing on the street outside their house. And I know that is disgusting, but that's the reality for like what they have to do. And they just, I suppose that's one of their concerns, that there'd be enough organizing around it. Then you have the others. Look, we've all had the worst 2 years of our lives, and people are like, live and let live. Let's have a concert. You know, the residents, some of them were saying like, we have a barbecue out in the back garden, and, you know, it's great fun, and we don't mind too many concerts. And like, when Ed Sheeran takes to the stage next April, that'll be the first concert in Croke Park in like 36 months. So like, there hasn't been anything for such a long time. Each concert employs about 3,500 people, worth around 24 million in extra spend into the local economy. So there's definitely, you know, pros and cons. You can see the point of local residents, those that are kind of opposed to it, just, you know, the amount of people in September will be coming off the back of the All-Irelands as well. So, you know, it's really busy. But then we asked the stadium director in Croke Park, his name is Peter McKenna, and I just said to him, like, it's funny because Aitken Promotions are Croke, no one's ever officially confirmed the news that it is Garth Brooks, because they're still just waiting to get everything. But I said to him, I was like, so what would it mean to have Garth Brooks back for five nights? And he was just like, look, we've just come out of COVID. It'd be amazing. It'd be like a way of us all just like, you know, having a good time, celebrating. Obviously, Croke Park want the gigs. Like, it's good for them as well. But I think it would be, yeah, 7 years on from 2014, if you got to play the five nights, I think it'd be just, you know, for, it'd be special whether you're a Garth Brooks fan or not. Yeah, I think, but it's definitely mixed. It's, And when you're having conversations with the residents, like the person that's saying, oh my God, yeah, I can't wait, and it'd be great for there, you're totally buying into it. And then when the person is telling you about people peeing on their front door, you're like, oh my God, you're right. Like, that's just ridiculous. So Croke Park have promised, you know, to have more engagement with residents. The residents weren't, some of them not too happy, because they've already, as things stand, got to go ahead for five, three in September, and the two Ed Sheeran. So it's more than the three, you know, that they had expected. So Peter McKenna apparently told residents as well, like, look, it'll be seven next year, and then, you know, we'll go back to kind of normal. But others will be saying, well, how do we know that's going to happen the following year?
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how fast those tickets, like, as fast as they sold the last time? Like, you've sold it to me now. Like, I want to go see it, and I had no interest the last time.
You're
going to need to do 10.
This is mad. I've seen them. This is how old I am. I seen him in 1997. My parents brought us. It was like 16, me and my brother. And I remember I had this woeful green, black, check cowboy shirt and like a hat. And we were in Croke Park. We were practically up on the roof, like, you know, we were way back. But it was one of the best concerts. And my dad always had his CD on in the car, so we knew all the words of the song. Like, we just kind of grew up with it. And like, it was such a, it was a banging concert. Like, I mean, the man knows how to put on a show. Like, he's excellent. And that's probably why he's still so successful and one of the biggest, if not the biggest, you know, selling artists in the US. But yeah, I seen him back in 1997. And I definitely want to go and see him. Look, there's so many fans out there. But it's funny, you mentioned there, like, would he sell out? And a load of people were saying to me, not a hope he'll sell out. I think he'd sell out. No,
I think 100%. I think if you have those people who desperately wanted to go in 2014, still would, like, forgive and forget, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They're the people who might still be a little pissed off or whatever, but probably want closure from the whole thing and are just like, yeah. And then you've, like, sort of, like, probably me and Breed. I was saying this before before you came on. I was saying, like, he just kind of strikes me as one of those people who, like, I know the big hitters. Obviously, I don't know a lot of the back catalogs or whatever, but I'd have a great time. Absolutely not. Breed was doing a good rendition of The Dance Now before you came on. Stunning voice, she has. But my mom was at that 1997 concert as well, and she said, didn't know him, I think she knew of him.
Me
didn't
and your
know
mom. I love it. Me and your mom were there back in 97.
But she said he had the place on wheels, and it was like, everyone was singing back, and he seemed genuinely, he has such an affinity for the place. Yeah. He seemed genuinely taken aback that they sang all the words back to him, and it was like he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I definitely think he'd sell out, and especially, like, he's so much more popular down the country as well, you know. And we actually, a couple of days after we broke the story, one of his, like, biggest fans here, her name is Mary Ryan, and he does a thing every Monday night where he does, like, a live Facebook thing, and she tweeted him and was like, I heard in our news today that, you know, you're planning on coming back and all this, and he read out the tweet, and he did a little piece to camera, and he was like, you know, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Like, am I coming? Am I not coming? And he kind of nodded yes and was like, I don't know. What can I say? And it just
drove he loves the drama.
He loves the drama. And then we had Mary on the news. We got her on the news that evening. Like, and she was like, I can't believe he read my tweet. And, like, she's a massive fan. And there are people, there are diehard super fans who just would go to him every night. And Mary was telling us back in 2014, like, she queued out overnight to get tickets. Like, I was looking back at footage that we shot. It was TV3 at the time. And just the queues and people sleeping out and the excitement and then the devastation. Yeah. Like, when it didn't happen. And a lot of people were like, when they were letting him have the 3 and not the 5, and he said, no, it's 5 or nothing. A lot of people turned on him. Like, a lot of people were like, I'll never forget him. Never forget that. But then there'll be the other ones that have got over it. It's 7 years. We've bigger problems in life than when you got to a concert or not. Do you know what I mean? You got your money back, your brand. So, yeah.
But that's what I was going to ask before we let you go. Like, is there any, I know you were saying about Facebook.
What do you mean, let me go? We're here for the night.
I was just going to say, though, is there any word from his camp in terms of, like, are we going to have a thing of, is he going to turn around again? If whatever happens, if there's something where it's like the residents really push back, or he's only given a certain number of nights again, but it's not 5. Like, is there any whispers again that he's, because that's the thing. There's a lot of discussion around his ego, maybe, or like, purely from a business perspective, if you want to go, of course you want to make as much money. Like, of course you'd want to do the 5 nights. You know what I mean? But anyway, is there any whisperings from that side?
Nothing from his camp. Now, I know, and, like, you know, that the promoters and everything are keeping really tight-lipped, because this is big business. This is a lot of money. They need to have all their ducks in the row before they sign contracts and before all of that is done. So the license for the 2 in September, as I said, like, a decision due around the end of October, maybe early November. And if they get the go ahead, well, then obviously it's 5 nights, but it's unclear, like, if they only get the 3, whether he'll come for the 3. And then you always have people, I'm sure you've seen it, like, people are like, oh, well, can't he come to Cork, and can't he come to Tipperary, and can't he come, you know, that there's other places than Croke Park or in Dublin. But, like, if you're spending so much money getting a set, getting a stage in place in Croke Park, it's not worth your while to have to take it down after a day, you know, down the M7 or whatever, and, like, set it up again somewhere else. That's just not going to work. So that's why they kind of want to have it all. They have it all in place. Like, you know, Croke Park is geared up for concerts like that. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting couple of weeks. Like, we'll definitely be keeping on top of it, keeping a close eye on those decisions from from Dublin City Council. And the other thing that I'll be trying to do is not say Garrett. Garrett.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Garrett. I think it might be a Sligo Garrett. Thing. Because I know it's Garrett. And I was like voicing a report in the office and they all kept saying to me, you're saying Garrett. Garrett. No, I'm saying Garrett. And then you sound like ridiculous. So I know when we broke the news that first evening, a lot of, like, while everyone was like, oh my God, he's coming back, other people were like, you're not pronouncing his name right.
Yeah. You were just in the corner.
All my fans who like, point out, like, can't speak properly.
Leave Paul alone. That's what I say to the Twitter mob. Exactly. He's from Sligo. That's all. Actually, before I let you go, I was asking this again before we came on, but you were in Oz around the time of the first debacle, working elsewhere or whatever. Yeah. What was it like watching that play out from Oz? And like, what, like, did they kind of hear anything, or was it covered over there in any kind of way?
I worked with ABC News in Sydney, and they're the state broadcaster there. And I actually think we covered it. As in, look how ridiculous everybody is back home. We're the daft Irish kind of thing. It was insane. Like the Taoiseach of the day, Enda Kenny, Garth Brooks asked him to intervene to see if he could.
I forgot that. Oh my God.
There was some carry on with the Mexican ambassador where he was dragged into it. Like, imagine the Mexican ambassador off, you know, going about his business, sorting out Mexico-Irish relations and being asked to intervene in like a concert. It just got to this. It was top news. It was like leading bulletins for weeks. It was the front page of newspapers. And I think since we broke this story this time around, that's kind of all come back and people are remembering it. Like, you know, we've seen it in Reeling in the Ears in the last, you know, in the new episode or the new episodes that aired there a couple of months ago. And it's just bringing people back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Whether that's good or bad, like PTSD, as I was saying, it's a bit like, oh my God, are we going through this again? And, you know, some people were on Twitter being like, I physically, mentally, emotionally, I cannot go through all of this round again.
Yeah.
So
if he pulls the plug again, we're going to look like such Egypt.
I mean, we're coming after him.
We'll have no choice.
Spade to spade, all off to Nashville, hunting him down. You don't mess with us twice. Like, once was bad enough.
Yeah.
But the Irish never forget.
Yeah. No. Truly, truly. Paul Quinn, Virgin Media News reporter, thank you so much for joining us on Bandwagons. Hopefully we'll have you on for something else, and maybe not part two of him pulling the plug, fingers crossed.
Well, yeah, maybe have us back when we know the exact dates and
yeah,
we know when it's going to go ahead.
And sure, if not, we'll see you at the concerts. We'll all have our matching green and black shirts. We'll be
surely,
sorted.
Surely we'll be like VIPs. There we will. We're like, look, we practically got you to come back. So, you know, we should be grateful. We could do the dance with him. Maybe like a little duet or something.
Yeah,
that
the big encore.
Yeah. Would,
fans would appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciated.
Thanks so much for having me.
So when I knew we were talking about Garth Brooks, there was only one person we had to get on. And that's one, I was going to say my best friend, but I don't want to insult Fionnuala. But it's one of my many best friends.
It's fine.
It's Anne. Annie Doyley Byrne. I don't even know which surname to go by. Anne is the only person. Anne is the person who introduced me to Garth Brooks.
Am I really? I know, like, you've never.
I had no idea who he was. No, well, like, I know the songs, like, I knew the songs from, like, weddings and stuff, but, like, it was 2014 and you were like, Garth Brooks, Garth Brooks, Garth Brooks. I think that was, like, my first exposure to it.
I'm sorry.
No.
when did you come to him, Anne? Like, when is your defining moment?
So I think this is sort of third time around for me, really. Like, the first time being, like, way back when, I can't remember being, like, a small child in my aunt's sitting room playing old Garth Brooks CDs with, like, those shitty, you know, like the Toy Master guitars. You probably don't remember them because you all had proper guitars because you're so younger than me. But these were, like, the worst guitars, and, like, play acting smashing them off the side of the couch because that's what he did on his big arena tours then. So that was sort of where it came from for me. And I don't really remember the defining moment as such. It was just kind of always simmering there in the background, and it's a real sense of nostalgia of playing with my cousins and having the crack with them and, like, pretending you're Garth Brooks. And then when he came around last time, 2014, I think Breed said, it just all came flooding back. It was like, I was obsessed. As Breed said, I was obsessed.
Like, two drinks in and Anne was like, I got a friend.
Literally.
Every time, every night.
I still am like that. Like, we have I don't know what I'm supposed to say or what I'm not, but I'm going to go with it. I've started now. Yeah. We have a small bar in the back of our shed, and, like, it'll just be me and James sitting in on a Friday night, and I will put on Garth Brooks and I'll start singing along.
I'm until I would say, this isn't the I'm Garda Shihana podcast. Like, you're out of a bar in your house, like, it's fine, Anne.
What's the air code? You'll never find it anyway.
No, exactly. And so, like, yeah, so came around to 2014, got my tickets, was absolutely living my best life. I think we got the tickets in January. The shows were, I don't know, later on, August, September, maybe. So every single Friday night for those 6 solid months, every pub I went into, I would hound any DJ, any barman to put on Garth Brooks. And one of my proudest slash most ashamed moments was when I was at a Christmas party, and it was quite a ritzy event and quite a nice hotel. It was a casino themed night, so we were all done up in our best. And the party was just not going anywhere, and I thought, I know what'll fix this. Understandably, the DJ said, absolutely not a chance, like, I'm not putting that on. So I was like, right,
the dance, please.
Tomorrow never comes.
Funny thing, it's banned.
In a sense. And I gave half an hour, and I was like, look, I'm gonna go again, I'm gonna try one more time. And he was like, I'm not playing. I said, it cannot get any worse than it is. There's nobody dancing, like, just give it a shot. And I swear to God, within 30 seconds, full dance floor, place absolutely lost the head. So that for me was, like, proof. That was the indication I needed that Garth Brooks is in fact okay. It's okay to like Garth Brooks. And then I think, like, hen to my hen party, Breed, you were in the car, me and my sister blast Garth Brooks the entire way up the road. So, like, I think for me it's a huge amount of nostalgia, like, right back from when I was a kid playing with my cousins or doing line dancing lessons after Irish dancing lessons in the hall on a Tuesday night, up to, like, really significant events like my wedding, like, and my hen party and all the rest of it. So that's why I love it, and it's full on cheese. You can be sobbing into your pint one moment and, like, literally standing on the bar the next. He is such an all-rounder. People don't give him enough credit for that. And that is why I love Garth Brooks.
Were you devastated when 2014 went shite?
I was devastated because I had a ticket for one of the shows that was supposed to go ahead that had been licensed.
Fuck, yeah.
So I was devastated for that reason. And then I swore a hole in the pot, like, I'd never go and darken the door. If he was playing in the field outside the house, I won't go to play because he's just money grabbing. But I am fully prepared to queue up for however long to get tickets for September. And I just hope I can drag Breed along with me.
No, I was saying, like, however many people wanted tickets the last time, like, I am now in the queue this time for the next go round. So they're going to have to do 5 won't be enough this time, I don't think.
No.
And you surely, we just had Paul Quinn on from Verge Media News, like, who's been talking to the residents about what's happening now. And Breed was like, yeah, do you know, I'm in. I'm sucked in. I think you should do the 10 nights. Fuck
he was
it.
Like,
just let him stay. It's fine.
Yeah, he was like, but you have people pissing on their doorsteps and all, so they're not really into it. I was like, you know what, Paul, you've sold me. He's like, sign me up.
I'm there. It's like my kind of crowd.
And you mentioned your dear husband, James. I have to ask, does he like Garth Brooks?
Breathe, James.
This is the opposite end of the spectrum to the kind of music James listens to, I would say.
James likes psycho death metal. bands with like
the C word in the name.
Skull, crushing, fairy heads, yeah, pig scum. Yeah, he likes those kind of bands. Okay, yeah, fair enough. So
like in the bar on a Friday night, we go from that to like the dance, and it's, you know, it's a whirlwind of emotions. Yeah. It really is, yeah. He tolerates a Fionnuala. That's probably all I could say, to be honest. Because, like, he tolerates me at this stage. It's just part of the package. I mean, you know yourself.
Yeah. What's your favourite Garth Brooks song?
I think "Friends in Low Places." Or Cheyenne. Yeah. If I'm in bad form, Cheyenne just to tip me over the edge. But "Friends in Low Places" if I'm going to be.
Cheyenne to tip me over the edge. Oh my god,
I don't even know if that's the name, but that's what I call it.
I love the Jason Derulo cover of that.
Have you ever seen him live?
Never.
Have any of your family?
Never. I don't think my family were that into it. It was really me back in 2014 that sort of swept them along for the ride. I don't think they were ever into him first time around.
And what are your feelings in here towards Chris Gaines?
The beaches of Cheyenne, you were correct.
Beaches of Cheyenne, yes, almost there.
Yeah, let's talk Chris Gaines now. Let's talk Chris Gaines.
What are your feelings towards Chris Gaines?
Who's Chris Gaines? I don't know.
Okay, are you at something where you have access to Google?
Sure, if Google's still working, who knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
If anyone listening has access to Google right now, I need you to Google Chris Gaines. Mark only told me about this like 2 weeks ago.
I had forgotten when you said this, but yeah, we absolutely need to talk about this. This was
Garth
really
Brooks,
deranged.
Sex addicted alter ego. Apparently, yeah. He was like planning on doing a whole movie to explain the backstory of Chris Gaines and all. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
No, I was just going to say it's something that I think maybe I chose to ignore and block out. You know, yeah. I didn't want to taint poor Garth.
Yeah, this is way more our vibe. Like, this is emo, like, Garth.
Yeah,
Brooks.
I fancy and Chris Gaines.
As you said, he was created to feature in this movie called The Lamb that never happened and kind of hasn't done anything since 1999. He released one album as Gaines, which was in 1999, and produced two charting Billboard singles, including the top five pop hit, Lost in You.
Sorry.
The Lamb was to have revolved around Chris Gaines, a fictional rock singer, and his emotionally conflicted life as a musician in the public eye. To create buzz for the project, Brooks took on the identity of Gaines in the October 1999 album, which we just said. Like, he was kind of the original Hannah Montana. Like,
yeah. This is at the peak of his fame. He went and was like, I'm going to have an alter ego, an emo alter ego. It says here, in March 2021, Brooks announced that the life of Chris Gaines was to be re-released on multiple platforms. Oh, re-released. Oh, never mind. I thought
he's adding that
previously unreleased songs are also forthcoming. So
he was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live. He was in Behind the Music, which is the VH1 series. Although the album made it number 2 on the Billboard 200, expectations had been higher and retail stores began heavily discounting their oversupply. Oh, poor emo Garth Brooks. Less than expected sales of the album, but it still sold more than 2 million. And no further developments in the production of the film as a result brought the project to an indefinite hiatus in February 2001, and the Gaines character quickly faded into obscurity. I love the idea of Garth Brooks just being like, I want to do rock, but no one's going to take me seriously, so like, let's do a movie where I'm this other person. And then it's like, a couple of months later, and he's like, oh, I couldn't be bothered. Forget it. I just sacked the whole thing off. Like, and people are like, no, like money and time. And he's just like, nah, forget it.
Not for me.
So based on the evidence presented here, Anne, do you or do you not think Garth Brooks might be a psychopath?
I mean, he's displaying some fairly psychopathic behaviour over the last number of years, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think it all, like, the confirmation is going to be over the next couple of weeks or months for me. How's it all going to go? What's his
reaction? How will you react if it all goes to shit again?
How will I react?
Personally,
it'll be memory repeat. It'll be, I'm never, ever going to listen to him again. I'm going to completely forego Garth Brooks.
I There is no way. There is no way what that he's going to pull out again, though, I think. Like, I just...
Then he's like, watch me fuck with the Irish again. Watch me do it. He's like a cat and a mouse.
A cat and a mouse, yeah. Who knows? We'll just have to wait
time
and see.
Time will tell.
Annie Doyle Burney, thank you so much for...
I didn't ask Anne how she wanted to be introduced. I just kind of went for it.
That's totally fine.
Thank you so much for joining us on Bandwagons as our Garth Brooks correspondent. Hopefully we'll have you back. Maybe when we all go, we can come back and review the concert. That'll be good, I think.
I am absolutely game ball for that. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, folks. And if tomorrow never comes, something else might happen.
Breed, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Garth Brooks Netflix documentary, or did you know that that existed? Because I did not.
I was going to say, does it even exist?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm watching this weekend.
I'm open to correction on whether it is still available on Irish Netflix, but it did come out. It was June last year. It was The Road I'm On Now. And there was... It's two episodes, but there's one whole segment in it. It's basically like tracks his rise as a country star and whatever. But there's also a little bit in it about like the Croke Park saga. I think it's an episode two. So you've like Garth's former production manager, John McBride, and he's talking to the camera and he's like, he goes, Croke Park is a neighborhood venue. 3 nights a year, you can do something other than soccer.
Wow.
What's the issue there, Breed?
Soccer doesn't even get played in Croke Park.
Yeah, exactly. And there was like some Drumcondra residents spoke to the Netflix people. One person said we'll be locked down in our community for 5 days, which is kind of, I'm taking this from a Love in Dublin article, and the author is kind of like, it's eerie if you compare it to the fact that we actually did end up being locked down for more than 5 days. And then, like, it's, I think it's only a small bit of the documentary, which is like, I didn't watch it because why would I? But it kind of describes like the scenes around Croke Park with like windows in the houses saying stop the Croke Park madness, the crowds descending on Dublin, like going to the council, trying to beg for them for the concerts to go ahead. You had the now Taoiseach, still Fianna Fáil leader, but then he was only the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. He's addressing the doll and he's like, is anybody going to do anything about it? Can it be rescued?
To be said for another mass.
Brooks tells viewers that when people say what's the best play to play, I tell them Ireland. It's crazy. I'm in love with that country. That's why it hurts so much. To prove his desperations for the concert to take place, and this we talked about this with Paul, he also says, if the Prime Minister himself wants to talk to me, I will crawl, swim, I will fly over this weekend, sit in front of him, I will drop on my knees and beg for those 400,000 people just to let him... to just let him come sing. Why didn't you listen, Enda? It's just like, he just, and this is the thing, you talk about him potentially being a psychopath or whatever, and I mean, he has that song, Ireland, like, he plays here, we talked about him and his reactions at concerts or whatever, but there, like, there's this Reddit thread that I found where people talk about, like, it was basically, so it was this person, only username left92, classic, posted saying, was anyone here at Garth Brooks' 1997 Croke Park gig? Which I think I said was the same gig that Paul was at. I actually don't think that's right. I think she was at the one when it was in The Point. It's now the Three Arena. Anyway, that's not relevant, but just a correction corner, because I know she would... facts are facts, and she would probably text me. This person posted, was thinking about my late dad, who was a massive fan. He would always tell me about the 1997 gig, how Brooks said many times it was his favourite he ever did. Brooks songs are notoriously well protected, so I couldn't find anything online. Went for a route through my dad's old belongings, and there in a box was a CD of the live performance. Whether you love him or hate him, the audience participation for Unanswered Prayers, this is a song, like nothing I've heard. I've since found out that the same live Dublin performance of it is also on Amazon Music if anyone wants to listen. But I'm dying to know, was anyone there who can give a first-hand account of what it was like? And then someone was saying, do you remember call cards? You probably don't, because we're both child brides, but well, Shane probably does, because he's really old.
Yeah, I worked on a show before and about nostalgic memorabilia and stuff, and loads of people brought them in.
There was Garth Brooks, ones of them. So someone was just on the thread talking about them. Someone commented, I just thought this was funny, said, I was banging meth out of it. Small Ooh. Bit of crack too. Great wow. gig. The sound of notes sliding into my wallet. Hans Zimmer played the after party. That guy was on another one. Good for him. But there was other comments where it just kind of went into like who he was and stuff. So this other person commented, Sean McTyre. Wasn't personally added at it. But I know of some people that were and were involved in the crowd surfing and the stories about the hash and no touching the jewels or ass are true. I have no idea what that refers to. I'm sure someone will tell us on don't Instagram
touch
after.
Jewels, don't touch his hat. Don't touch his ass. I think it's pretty explanatory.
I believe he also still has the tricolour he wears on the album cover. Back in 2007, he did a 14-day run in Kansas City as a comeback. First time he played the track More Than a Memory live. The crowd also sang unanswered prayers back to him, but it wasn't like in Croker. In Croker, the crowd sang it. He sang it all and he sat there. In Kansas, it took them a while to start singing back, if I remember right. There used to be some of the video, Kansas video shown on YouTube, yada, yada, yada. Met him around the time of the failed Croker gigs that got cancelled and he was excited for them. Loved the changes to Croker, but disappointed the shows couldn't happen. Personally, I blame his ego somewhat. He could have had 3 gigs. He wanted 5. No one had ever done 5. Seemed a decent sort of guy. Ensured that everyone present was spoken to and had a photo and autograph. Anytime I've met him, he always has time for his fans, no matter what. There's also a story about a show in the US in the 90s, one of the festivals he did, and he insisted on staying until every fan that wanted to meet him did, and he even ordered a pizza for everyone. I thought someone else had said something, but maybe that was what I was thinking of. It was just like, or no, sorry, this was it. There's another really good piece on RT.e. It's by Dr. Siobhan Doyle, and it's kind of, it talks about, the headline is The Summer Garth Brooks Didn't Come to Town. And she talks about like how the reason why country musicians are often so successful is because like they sell an air of like every man, every womanness, you know what I mean? That it's kind of like, they're just like you. They just like drinking and fatting and, you know, kissing and dancing and whatever. That it's, you know, in this, in a way that's not like, you look at hip hop and that's so aspirational and, or even pop, like not just hip hop, like where they're talking about money and everything else. And that's not to say, of course, like you'd get that in country music as well, but I think it's less prevalent.
Yeah, country music is like my beer, my dog, my truck.
Yeah, but I think especially, and maybe not necessarily now, obviously there's been, but definitely his generation of that, like for sure, he was very
accessible.
Yeah, he wanted to be seen as an ordinary person. And this was the thing, like that he would stage these like really long autograph signing sessions, these impromptu kind of performances, whatever else. Oh, so the gig that my mom saw, I have, this is actually included in the article. It was 1994. It was the Point Depot as it was. He did 8 nights, drew the largest audience for an event in Dublin since the Pope's visit in 1979. And then 1997 was when he came back to Croke Park. He did 3 nights, and he also did Friends in Low Places from the roof of a minibus in Bray. Would Woo. Love to know if anyone had seen that. He did a documentary for NBC in 1998. It was Garth Brooks, Ireland and Back, and it was like about the concert, behind the scenes, his relationship with his Irish fans, kind of brought that to international attention. Then, as we mentioned, he retired in 2001, came back in 2014, and like did come back. He just didn't come back here was the thing. With all the issues that we mentioned previously. And then this piece kind of goes into again like how legitimate his affection is for Irish people. Like were his expression sincere and all that. You know, and that question mark that like, you know, I know Anne's joking or whatever. There is an element of humour there. And she's saying she'd go if he did come tomorrow. But at the same time, I have no doubt that there are fans out there who are like, fuck no, you. Like, absolutely, I'm not going. Like, do you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We will be there.
Well, hopefully. I am going to try and get a ticket, I think.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Ticketmaster is just going to be an absolute fucking...
If we thought it was bad now with the mainframe going down, when these tickets go on sale, I think it was going to be too, like... That's it. Game over.
How is Instagram WhatsApp still not working? Just plug it back in.
That brings me on. That was one of my mini bandwagons.
The mainframe being down?
Yeah. Okay. It happened earlier. I updated my whole laptop thinking it was just WhatsApp on my laptop. And then a couple of hours realized it was not just me. But it usually comes back very quickly when this happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're taking the piss now. Come on, Zuck. Come on, Zuckerberg. Yeah.
Just plug it back in. Hit the reset button.
Any other mini bandwagons?
Yeah, I just had a question, to be honest. The song Happier Than Ever.
Is. Yeah.
Is it new? Or why is it everywhere in the last few weeks? Because I know it. I know it hasn't just been played for the first time. Because I remember hearing it. Maybe it was in a
recent single.
Is it?
Yeah. There was a big video for it as well.
That's how things work, I suppose.
Yeah, generally, yeah.
Because I was like, everyone was like, oh, this song. And I was like, I heard this song 6 months ago. Whenever we did the Billie Eilish episode, I was like, I've heard this song on her documentary.
Yeah, really? She released a snippet of it in the initial promotional video. When she announced the album, it's the chorus. She's singing in the video. She's like, when I'm away from you, I'm happier than ever. That bit is in the video. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was the most recent single. That's why. It was a good song. It's very, very good.
Song of Two Halves, and I really enjoy it. And then finally, Love on the Spectrum season 2 is on Netflix. And it is, I can confirm, it is just as good as season 1. Do you watch it? Interesting. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I'd watch season 1 because you talked me into it, I think.
Yeah.
Did we do an episode on it? Did we talk about it? I think maybe we talked about what it was like, kind of, but I think maybe we did. No, I think maybe we talked about why it was like potentially iconic or why it had like divided people or whatever.
I think it is. I know there's a lot of these shows like
with any of the original couples, you know.
What?
Is it a follow up with any of the original couples or is it all new couples?
Well, they're not couples; they're singles on the spectrum.
But that's what I mean. Are they? But do they follow up with any of the ones from?
Yeah, they follow up with a good few of them. Most of them. And then there's like two characters that were on it, not characters, people who were on it last year, who were like dating on the show, and then it like came out after the show that their families were like, yous would have actually gotten on really well if you had dated each other instead of like not having met each other. So then for this season they bring them back and they put them on a date together, and it's just a really nice show, and it's really heartwarming. And yeah, it's one of the best dating shows. It's just so nicely done, and like it's just very warm, and you get very invested in all the people very easily.
Interesting. I have a recommendation, and it is
No, go for it.
Changes with Annie McManus. It's Annie Mac's podcast. I listened to Jimmy Carr's episode today. There's a dog barking in the background for a lot of it. Not that we're ones to talk about fucking sound or technical issues. That did annoy me. And Jimmy says, but it was one of those podcasts where I was like, I could find myself talking back, like disagreeing with, but not in a way that I was like annoyed, if that made sense. And then I went back to like a couple of other episodes. It's good. Annie Mac is incredible. I really like her, and the Katie Price episode is really good. She's just, that woman, I know she's a lot on at the minute. I'm not commenting on that because it's a bit fucking murky or whatever. It's just mental to hear her talk about her life and hear about everything she went through. And it's just like, I don't know how she is alive. And I say that very sincerely. Like, it's crazy. And then there's a good one with someone who won the lottery before. It kind of plays as if it's like an ad for the lottery, but it's not, as far as I can tell. But it was interesting. It was interesting. I just really like Annie Mac anyway. She has Perez Hilton on next week, which I'm like,
but they're good guests. Anyway.
They're good guests, but that's what I mean. It's like, I like Jimmy Carr. He said some things where I was like, what? I was like, da-da-da-da-da. I was like, I wanted to reach into the mic or in my earphone and be like, shut the fuck up, Jimmy. But I suppose it's a sign of a good podcast, right? Isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Anyway, that's a recommendation. It's Changes with Annie McManus.
Did you watch Squid Game yet?
Squid Game, no, not yet.
So Quiva came home from school and was like, I have to watch Squid Game right now, because if I don't watch it right now, it's going to be spoiled on me by all the boys in my class. Because
how are they all watching it? Like, they are too young.
No, every 12-year-old in the country seems to be absolutely gripped by this. So I watched the first two episodes with her.
Surely it's not suitable for her age group. Surely no. Like,
there's a lot of violence. Like, it's, she was like, it's kind of like the Hunger Games, isn't it? Have you ever played Fall Guys on the PlayStation?
Yeah.
It's, I was like,
but Fall Guys, Fall Guys is like cartoony new, and.
Yeah, no, Fall Guys is very light and colourful and bubblegum and all this. This is like a dark human version of Fall Guys from what I saw.
Okay. Do you think I'd like it?
I actually do. And I was.
Well, I do think I'd like it, but I cannot get over the Queeves fucking age group are watching it. Oh, like, that's. Like, TV's too accessible. Sorry, we need to unplug the internet.
No, it was her whole class, and then there's like kids I'm working with at the minute, and they're about the same age, and they were like watching on their phones on set and stuff. What was I going to say? I was a bit like put off because I know it's Korean, I think, and it's dubbed, and I just don't really have the concentration for dubbed TV shows usually, or movies or anything like that. It just doesn't grab me. But it's dubbed, and it's like so well done that you'd actually forget that they're
speaking
English. But I know the dubbing and the translations have been dog shit.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Apparently the subtitles aren't 100% accurate either, so it's like...
They never are. Even if you put on TG Car, the subtitles aren't 100% accurate.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard to translate things 100% the way they're meant in another language.
Yeah.
As a linguist myself.
As a linguist, yeah. Jesus, thanks for that. Thanks for that insight. That is all from us. Please head to bandwagonspodcast.com to buy tickets for our live shows, which are happening next month. It is a month away. It is 4 weeks away.
I've booked off 2 weeks just to plan for it.
So that should fill you all with hope. What have you done? Oh, fuck off.
I need to try on my outfit. We need to get hats.
We do need to get hats, yeah.
You try on my outfit
person has not any money back, and I'm stressing now, to be honest. I haven't paid anything, but
okay.
I said to them, I was like, I need to buy X, and they were like, yeah, that should be fine. I was like, I haven't heard anything. I might email this week and just be like, are we definitely okay for this? Because
just referring to the email above.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to be one of those people.
Just following up.
We are at Bandwagons Podcast across all social media. Sign up to our Patreon to get exclusive access to bonus content, including 4 bonus episodes a month, where we just did an Off the Wagon where we talked about true crime, the Gabby Petito case, Drag Race. We talked about a load of other shit on that.
Yeah,
one,
we did.
We got into a lot of... I can't remember off the top of my head now, but it was a meaty one. We talked about... I went down a rant about Jesse Nelson's solo career. Yeah.
We got a load of new followers in the last... a load of new patrons, should I say, in the last month. Like a big surge. And welcome, if you're not in the close friends, please let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you for subscribing. What's this crack with the survey? Or are you happy enough with the results we have?
No, we have barely any results. So I will be coming. Just the Patreon, when you get the email, you'll know. But again, thanks to anyone who did submit before it went fucked up. And sorry to anyone who did have difficulty. Your opinions do matter to us. I just need to figure out how to fucking work at Google Forms. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, but only if it's nice. Follow us on Spotify to keep up to date with all the latest episodes. And we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Yay, goodbye. Talking about things that other people
are talking about. Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.